Very pleased to see you here, and we're pleased to have visitors with us. This morning, as you can see, we're going to be talking about the story of God. How many like to read a good story? Two of you, three, four, okay, more. You like a good story? Okay. Well, what is the number one selling book of all time? It's the Bible. It's the story of God. And why is the Bible the number one selling book of all time? Because it's the greatest story. Let me get my PowerPoint turned on. It is the greatest story ever told. And in this lesson, I will try to tell you why it is the greatest story ever told. You know, the Bible is comprised of 66 individual books, contributing to a very consistent and coherent story of God. That is, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and their relationship with their creation. And that's all of us. So our focus will be on the overall picture of the story of God. And I really appreciated Bob's opening remarks as he began to lead the songs this morning. He was talking about the fact that in his class downstairs with the children, the young children, that he was trying to give them the big picture. Of every little lesson that he was trying to give, he tried to give them the big picture of where it fit in to the overall story of God. And I think that's something that we all should take the example of our elder and do that. And I think that probably most of you do that. But you know, it's easy to lose sight of the awesomeness of God's grand purpose for His people and for the world. And also, in order to fully grasp the meaning and understanding of Bible doctrines, I think it's imperative that we keep them within the scope and the context of the overall story of God. You know, Brother J. Graham, in April, the current issue of the Gospel Message, the April issue, he reminds us of the primary and the secondary purposes of the Bible. The primary, and I'm going to quote from him here. He said, "The primary purpose of the Bible is to instruct men and women in the way that they might seek the Lord and that they might be a part of His people." And then he added, "I am convinced the Lord has a secondary purpose for His Bible. He has given it to the world so that mankind might know how best to live and thrive in this life. It is from God's Word that the world can know such things as marriage, the family, basic morality for living, the importance of stable societies and governments, how to interact with our fellow man, and etc., etc. But he also mentions that the Lord's instructions in the Old Testament on cleanliness, hygiene, germs and infections, blood, quarantining certain diseases, were thousands of years ahead of man's recognition of the importance of these issues. So even from a worldly perspective, it is obvious that God's Word is needed for mankind to thrive, at least. So, let's consider some thoughts about the Bible story of God. The publisher of the Bible story is God the Father. The editor, as we were talking about this morning, the editor is God the Holy Spirit. And listen, young people, listen to me now. I'm going to be asking you some questions here in a minute. The leading character of the story of God, the Bible, is God the Son, or Jesus Christ. And I suppose that we could say that the cast includes all humanity, which that includes all of us. You know, it's very interesting to note that the story begins with God, Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that God includes the Son, Jesus Christ. And then the story concludes with our Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. And here's what it says. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Notice, he ensures us that he is coming again, and he says it will be quickly. You know, the extent of the story revealed in the Bible is from the beginning of creation to the judgment day. And we need to remember that we are living in that time. Now, at this point, I want to emphasize the very extreme importance of teaching our children about the overall concept of God's story for His children. And in order to do this, I'm going to focus on the young people for just a moment. I would like the full attention of all the young people and children who are in our Sunday evening Bible drill to just kind of put aside what you might be doing right now and set up in your seats and look at me. And look up here, because I'm going to have some things on the overhead that I want you to look at. And we're just going to talk for a couple of minutes. But I want you to look at the overhead screen, and I think you know exactly what you see. I have listed all the books of the Bible. And you know what? All of those books that is in one book we call the Holy Bible, it is one gigantic storybook. And I know all of you young people like stories. You have your storybooks. This is one gigantic storybook. And when Grand Bob is teaching you in your class, or Brother Bob, when he's trying to give you the overall picture, he's trying to show you where it fits into this big, gigantic storybook. Now, how many books are there in the whole Bible? 66. That's exactly right. And, I wonder how many stories are in the Bible. I don't have an answer to that, but I think we can actually say there are hundreds of them. You know, a Brother Tad, over the last few years, has developed a curriculum of different Bible stories for every week for 4 years. And if that comes out to about 280 stories. But I know he'll be the first to tell us that there are many, many more stories in the Bible to be studied. But I take this time to really appreciate and thank Brother Tad for all the many, many hours of work that he has put in helping you young people to learn the important stories of life related or told to us in God's great storybook, the Holy Bible. Now, I want you to look up at the screen once again. The Bible story is divided into two sections. What are the two main sections of the Bible? Some of you young people, what are the two main sections? Old Testament and New Testament. Thank you, you're exactly right. The Old Testament, it begins with Genesis and it goes to Malachi. And how many books are there in the Old Testament? 27. In the Old Testament? 39. Okay, there's 39 in the Old Testament. How many in the New Testament? 27. Okay, you've got it. Now, the stories that you're studying downstairs right now are in the Old Testament, isn't that right? Are you studying about Samuel? And you've been studying the Judges? All of those are in the Old Testament. The creation, the flood, all of those are in the Old Testament. But then in the New Testament, last year in 2015, you were studying in the New Testament. So what did you study about in the New Testament? What kind of a story? Who'd you study about? What's some characters? Samuel. Who? in the New Testament? Who? Who was born? I know you know the answers to this. Who was born in the New Testament? Jesus. Exactly. And you studied about Paul. Well, these were all in the New Testament. Now, now I want you to look up at the screen, and I've done something else. I've added something new. Let's see if you remember something that I said earlier in this lesson. Who is the leading character in the story of the Bible?
Jesus Christ.
Is that what you were going to say? Okay. You have it exactly right. So, notice up here, there are three distinct periods about Jesus in the Bible story. You see those red circled phrases that I have up there? Okay, number one, what does the first one say?
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming. And you know, that is what was taking place during the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. Jesus, was he here on earth during the Old Testament stories? Was he, young people? Was Jesus here during the Old Testament stories? Nor has it right. It's no, he wasn't here. But what does the second one say then up here? What's the second period?
Jesus is here.
And you know where we read about that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Jesus is here. He was here during that time, wasn't he? But then the third one, what does the third period say? Jesus is coming again. Okay, and we read about that in Acts through Revelations. Now, was Jesus on earth during that period of time? Was he on earth during Acts through Revelation? No, he wasn't on earth. Now, we read a lot about him, but he really wasn't on earth. So, my dear young people, I want to thank you for being good students of the Bible, and I'm just very well pleased with your enthusiasm for learning and telling the story of God. In your drill on Sunday evening, you know, if we all had the enthusiasm of those children wanting to answer the question, me, I got the answer. You know, if we had that enthusiasm, we could go a long way. But little ones, remember this, never forget. The story of God is your key to a good life. Life will not be worth good unless you know the story of God and put that into your life. And I want to thank the parents and the teachers for an excellent job of instilling in these young hearts and minds these very important stories and lessons that are actually building faith and giving directions to all of these little ones. And you know, I'm convinced with good classroom instruction and daily spiritual training in Christ-like homes that our children will grow up to be strong Christians and be able to face and overcome the trials that lie ahead. Now, at this point, you may be wondering, well, where are we going with this lesson? Well, I guess I could stop right here and maybe there's been a pretty good lesson learned. But, you know, it's my belief that our Bible studies will be more productive and edifying if we will always connect our lesson or study with its place in God's overall story. So, as a fundamental prerequisite, we must have a fairly good understanding of the context of the overall story of God. So, this brings us to some comments on a handy Bible story index that I found. I didn't make this up. It was by Hugh Fulford. This can be helpful in visualizing and learning the major contents of God's Bible story, which is really very imperative for a good understanding of all the individual lessons in the story of God. So Matt handed those out. So you have sheets. I hope there was enough for everyone. If not, we can make more. But those are something that you can take home and look at. And we're going to talk about this for just a little bit. So as you can see, the index is divided into 14 topical groups relating to God's various interactions with and directions with His people. And this gives us an idea of how the Bible story as a whole fits together, because it fits seamlessly together. The stories recorded in the Bible took place over a span of thousands of years. Yet, they are all held together by the unifying thread of divine authorship. In other words, every book in the Bible is God's Word. Now, there are some of the words in the books and in the stories that are not God's direct words. For instance, Job's friends, all the information, the false information that they gave to him, that wasn't God's words. So you wouldn't say they were inspired necessarily, but God saw fit to put them in the Bible because they're true. And I don't mean they're true because they're right for something we should follow, but they are true. That's what his friend said to him. It wasn't always right, but that's the way it is in the Bible. So, every book in the Bible is God's Word. And each event is recorded by the will of God for His people and with their instruction in mind. In Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You know, the better our understanding of the story of God, the more we realize that God has a unified plan for history. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and I read, "Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to reunite all things in Him, in heaven and things on earth." And that's read from the English Standard Version. So we understand the center and climax of history is the work of Christ on earth. That is, His crucifixion and His resurrection. The Old Testament points forward to Christ through the promises of God's salvation. And all the Old Testament promises find their fulfillment in Jesus. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 20. "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him." So, all things begin to take shape and fit together as we consider the story of God, which begins in Genesis chapter 1. So notice, on the 14 points or 14 different divisions in our index that we have, the first one is the story of creation, the early civilization, and that's the first five books of the Bible. And as far as the chronological dates that covers, it covers from about 6,000 B.C. to 3,000 B.C. So we have five chapters covering about 3,000 years. The second one is Noah and the Flood. That's from Genesis 6 and 11. That takes place somewhere between the 3,000 B.C. and 2100 B.C. Number three, I'm just going to hurry through these because you can look at these and you can study these at home. Number three, the stories about the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We find these in the rest of Genesis, from Genesis 12 all the way through 50. And also we need to put Job in this time period, I think, because he was a patriarch. And this happens from 2100 to probably 1800 B.C. Number four, stories about Israelites in Egypt in the wilderness. We read about that in Exodus through Deuteronomy. The time period is 18 B.C. through 14 B.C. These are very approximate time dates, but just gives you a little idea. Number five, the stories about the Israelites as they enter the land of Canaan. We read that in the book of Joshua. The time period there is only 25 years, from 1400 B.C. to about 1375 B.C. Number six, the Israelites, the stories about the Israelites that rule by the judges, which you young people were just studying about the judges, weren't you? And we find that in the book of Judges and in 1 Samuel for the first eight chapters, and then the book of Ruth. And that's from 1375 to about 1050. Then number seven is stories about the United Kingdom under Saul, David, and Solomon. And I'm not going to read all of those, the books that tell us those stories. But those are from about 1050 to 940 B.C. Number eight, stories about the Israelites when they divided into the southern and the northern kingdoms. A lot of books in the Old Testament tell about this time period, from 940 B.C. to 700 B.C. Number nine, stories about Israel, the Israelites in captivity. We read about that in Daniel, the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel. And this is 700 B.C. to 537 B.C. And finally, in the Old Testament, the stories about Judah's return from Babylon to Canaan. And we have Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther primarily. And then we have those books of prophecy. And this brought us up then to 430 B.C., at the end of the writing of the Old Testament. Now, you might make a note, that footnote is that the Old Testament basically ends with the book of Nehemiah. And every book coming after it can be placed somewhere in the framework of events covered through from Genesis through Nehemiah. Okay, I want you just to keep in mind, as already noted, the Old Testament anticipates Christ the Savior by types and shadows, that is, examples, symbols, pictures of the things that were to come. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did." Hebrews 8 and 5, "They serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent or the tabernacle, he was instructed by God, saying, 'See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain.'" For instance, in the Old Testament, animal sacrifices in the Old Testament prefigure or was a type of the final sacrifice of Christ. The temple as a dwelling place for God prefigured Christ, who is the final dwelling place of God, and through whom God is with his people. Matthew 1, 23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. John 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered them and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Well, the Jews said, "Well, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you think you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. And the Old Testament priests were types of Christ, the final high priest. And we studied this with Eric in Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 11 through chapter 8 and verse 7. And that's where we found out that Christ was a superior anti-type of the Old Testament priest. In other words, he was the fulfillment of it. The fulfillment of all of these Old Testament types and shadows takes place preeminently in Christ. And we've already noticed in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and verse 20, that no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So you see, a type and a shadow is a form of a promise of God's final redemption of salvation. 2 Peter 3 and 2, "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And yes, the Old Testament Jerusalem prefigures the new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven from God. That's Revelations 21 and verse 2. Now, let's look at the New Testament. There's only four different divisions here. The first, the stories, of course, are about the earthly life and ministry of Jesus. And this falls under the category. The Old Testament was Jesus is coming. Now come to the category of the status of Jesus. Jesus is here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that was from about 6 B.C., to 30 A.D., somewhere in that area. Number 12, the stories are about the beginning and the growth of the church. Now, the book of Acts is where we read these stories. Is Jesus here? No, Jesus has already resurrected and is sitting on the throne of God. But Jesus is coming again. And number 13, the stories are about Christianity applied individually and congregationally. And we read these from Romans to Jude. And this would cover the span from 30 A.D. to probably 90 A.D. And finally, number 14, the stories about the ultimate victory of the church. And we read of that in Revelation. And that's about 90-95 A.D. But we must always remember that Christianity did not originate with the New Testament story. No, the New Testament story is the results and record of Christianity. You see, the story of the New Testament was written as certain situations occurred that required letters to people or congregations, letters of acknowledgement, thanks, criticism, recommendation, instruction, or advice. And these letters were written to provide an immediate and pressing need. So some stories in the New Testament were written to save people from perplexities or mistakes, or to comfort them in anxieties and peril. But always these letters or stories were addressed to a fairly definite circle of people in a particular condition of stress or doubt. So therefore, each individual story must be understood in the light of the situation that prompted its writing. And only when we put ourselves into the situation of those for whom a given story of the New Testament was written, only then do we begin to feel a relationship with them and hence be able to understand the truth in that story. The New Testament story is also about the church, first involved in the missionary endeavors, then finding its place in the contemporary religious history, then strengthening its faith in the midst of persecution, and then dealing with heresies from within and without. So the New Testament, really, when you think about it, provides extraordinary stories of the Christian movement in the most interesting period of its development. So you see, Christianity started as a hope of the coming Messiah, but it very soon became a permanent and organized church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So reading and studying the Old Testament in context with the overall story of God reveals the same powerful faith-building doctrine intended for those readers to whom it was originally written. So, in conclusion, and it's going to be a rather lengthy conclusion, so we're not done yet, but let me preface my concluding remarks by saying I am very pleased with the Bible instructions of all of our teachers, preachers, and parents. And I hope this lesson has proven the importance of considering the overall story of God in all of our studies, classes, and teachings at home and at church. And in my estimation, this idea will provide a reason and justification for understanding the deeper doctrines of the Bible. You know, God is not like some parents who give a command and expect obedience without any reason or justification, except, well, because I told you so. You know, when the Lord, through the Apostle Peter, commanded the Jewish audience to repent and be baptized, to them, this was a reasonable and just commandment, because they understood, number one, their sinful and lost condition. And number two, they understood that through the Old Testament scriptures, the redeeming nature of repentance and baptisms. Now, they were learning how that was going to be utilized and applied in the new under the new covenant. But you know, the practice of teachers demanding young people's obedience to doctrine without teaching them the overall story is why they the story that needs to be taught to them is, number one, why they are in this world, their purpose, the inevitability of sin in their life. And number three, the love of God for their salvation has caused, by trying to teach that without going relating it to that overall story of the Bible, has caused many to defiantly reject the Lord, at least until they became aware of the full story of God in their lives. And I know I've just heard of a situation of that kind, that's exactly what happened. But I'm thankful that that person did become aware of the whole overall story and his purpose in life and did become a child of God. You see, the purpose of encompassing our studies with the overall story of God has many benefits. That is, when attempting to a detailed investigation of specific lessons of the Scriptures, the teacher and student alike will need to look at the larger general picture of the setting of the stories. And they'll also need to read the chapter or chapters corresponding to the subject of their study before digging deeper for the nuggets of knowledge and refining and making them their own understanding of the truth. So in application of it all, the key to achieving spiritual knowledge and steadfast faith in God is a daily Bible reading program. And you know, I know this will work. About 5 years ago, when Brother Matt turned his life back to God, I think it was about 5 years ago, he had a very strong desire to know the story of God for his life. And he consulted with several brethren, many of us, for suggestions. But one evangelist strongly encouraged him to start by reading the Bible from cover to cover. And I believe I'm correct that he has read it through twice. But I really like this part. His last reading was with his daughter Savannah. Now, what a great example that is for all of us. If we truly want to learn about God. I know it's encouraged me to implement a daily Bible study reading schedule, and if the Lord wills, I'm going to finish it in 13 weeks. Every day, I can't wait. The first thing when I get up is to go up and sit down. I've got to read my scriptures. And I must say that it's helped me to realize the benefits of considering the whole story of God in my quest for a deeper understanding of and faith in God's scheme of redemption. So now, when the song, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," comes to my mind, I begin thinking, not simply of His death for me, but also the story of God in the Holy Bible, which is really the wonderful story of Jesus. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming again. And upon this, our whole being, life, and eternity consist. And let's close with this important teaching from Jesus. In John, the 17th chapter, verse 3. "And this is eternal life. It's important that you know that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Do you know Jesus? Do you know God? Do you know the whole story? Do you want to know more about it? The first step is becoming His child. If you haven't, we're going to invite you to come. Or for any reason that you want to come forward, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.